In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Last week, as you may recall, was called Rogate Sunday, and that word in Latin means to ask, which is one of the ways that the Bible speaks about prayer. Over the course of last week's service, we learned what the Bible says about prayer, stemming specifically from Jesus' own words in the Gospels, where he says, "Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full." We learned that God not only requires us to call upon him in prayer according to his holy law, but also that he has promised to hear those prayers. Now, there is a close connection between last Sunday, Rogate Sunday, where we learn to pray according to our Lord's admonition, and this Sunday, which, if you look at your proper sheet, is called Exaudi. Now, exaudi, from the Latin translation of the first line of the introit, simply means to hear. And so, the church goes from being commanded to pray on Rogate Sunday to demanding that God would hear us on the next Sunday, on exaudi. That seems to be a rather bold move on our part, if you think about it. How can we poor sinners demand anything from God? How can we have the nerve, the gumption, to demand anything from our holy God? After all, that is the source of every problem we have from God. He is holy, and we are not. Even Dr. Luther died literally clinging to that notion that we are nothing but beggars before God. 2 days before he died, Luther penned his last words. In German and in Latin, he wrote, "Wir sind alle Bettler, hoch est verum." These words mean, "We are all beggars, this is true." As frightened sinners, we indeed are beggars before our holy God. We deserve God's wrath and displeasure. We deserve for him to ignore our prayers because of our sins. Psalm 66 says, "If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." Proverbs 28 warns us, "If one turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination." In Job 35, we read, "There they cry out, but he does not answer because of the pride of evil men. Surely God does not hear an empty cry, nor does the Almighty regard it." Proverbs 29 likewise says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but hears the prayer of the righteous." This, of course, implies that God, in his distance from the wicked, does not hear their prayers. As sinners, we deserve for God to turn his face from us and to ignore our prayers. To add to Dr. Luther's sentiment from a moment ago, as beggars, we also have nothing to offer God that would even cause him to turn his face toward us. As the hymn so nicely puts it, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." And that is the true promise of prayer as we learned it last week. God does not listen to us because of anything within us. God listens to our cries for mercy because of the blood of Jesus. This is part of the comfort that we can draw from the doctrine of the ascension of Jesus as we confess it in the creed and as we celebrate it this past Thursday. Jesus has gone to the Father, and now he is our advocate. He pleads our case before our God. And so when the devil and the world and even our sinful flesh accuse us of sin, Jesus is there before the Father with his blood as evidence to prove that we are indeed innocent. St. John writes in his first epistle, "We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." So this means, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that even though by our sin we would rightly be called beggars before God, we actually have an all new standing before our Lord in heaven. Having been cleansed of our sins by God's and made God's children in holy baptism, we are now his. We belong to him. Because he has claimed you as his children, this also means that you have a claim on him. In the same way that children have the right to love, attention, and provision from their parents, you too might also go to your Father in heaven with all of your needs. That's why we heard so much from Jesus in last week's gospel about the promises that our Lord makes regarding prayer. This means that we should not feel ashamed or sheepish about demanding that our Father in heaven would hear our prayers. He has promised to hear them, after all. This leads us, then, to the final thing that we ought to know about prayer. Yes, God has commanded it, and yes, he has promised also to hear us. But at the end of our prayers, we must also learn to say, Amen. We ought not think of this word as simply a nice and pious way to end prayer. And it's not a magic formula by which we contort God's will into our own. But Amen is indeed a very great word of faith and a gracious promise that our Lord gives to us. As you may recall from your days in studying the Small Catechism, Amen, Amen means, yes, yes, it shall be so. Amen is the confession that God's promises are true, they are reliable, and they are trustworthy. To pray according to God's command and promise is to call upon our Father with a certainty that is born of faith. And that means that we call upon him with all boldness and confidence, knowing that he is not deaf to our cries for mercy, but instead will hear and answer us according to his good and gracious will towards us in Christ. Sometimes learning to say the Amen is indeed the hardest part of prayer. For when we say this word, we are commending all of our prayers, everything that we have poured out from our hearts into God's tender care. We know that God does not hear us based on the many words that we pile up, or by the fact that we are very persuasive, or maybe not very persuasive, in the way that we pray. He does not hear us because of the sincerity of our prayer, but instead, when we say that word, Amen, and we commend all of our prayers, our petitions, our concerns, our thanksgivings into the hand of our Heavenly Father, we are saying Amen. We are saying that God is hearing us because he is our Father. And in Christ, all of the answers to our prayers that are given to us in the promises of Jesus are answered yes. St. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, "For all the promises of God find their yes in him," that is, Christ Jesus. "That is why it is through him that we utter our Amen to God for his glory." All of the prayers that we pray, all of those promises that God makes to us, find their yes in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen, then, is, as Luther says, the unquestioning word of faith on the part of the one who does not pray as a matter of luck, but knows that God hears him because of what Jesus has done for him in shedding his blood. That in Christ Jesus, God has promised to grant our prayers to him. This amen is a verbal response that arises from those who have been given the gift of salvation in Christ. It is a word of faith and hope, and it is in the glory that is yet to be revealed in Jesus at his coming on the last day. God's saving yes in the crucified and risen Jesus Christ does not return to him empty. Instead, when we say amen, God links his word and our faith in order that he might overcome and oppose all of our doubts and fears that keep us away from our Lord's promises. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, amen is your word. It is the word of God's faithful people. If you notice, every single amen in the liturgy is marked as a response of the congregation. Now, I must admit at this point that I have unintentionally taken some of those amens from you. When I begin my sermons in the name of the triune God, I have been stealing your amen from you and saying it myself, taking it from your mouth and putting it in my own. When I close my sermons in the name of Jesus and then end with a blessing, I have again been unintentionally saying your amen. When you are dismissed from the Holy Communion with the blessing, I have been stepping in again and taking away your amen from you. But amen is not my word, but it is your word. It is the word of God's holy Christian people. It is the word that acknowledges the promises that God has given to you in his word and in his sacraments. Don't let me or anyone else take this amen, this great word of faith, away from you. And so today, I encourage you, on this Sunday where we ask, no, we demand, that God would hear our prayers, I encourage you to take this great battle cry of faith upon your own lips. Say against the devil and the world and even your own doubting flesh the great word, amen. Yes, yes, God's promises are certain and they are true. God does not lie, and he has promised to grant these things to you. In saying amen, you are demanding that God would hear you, not out of your rude insistence, but out of the boldness and confidence in the promises that he has made to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In Jesus' name, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.